Doesn't it feel incredible in here tonight? You see, when the Bible is full of promises, but one of my favorite promises is that when we begin to lift up the name of Jesus, when we begin to sing God's praises, the Bible tells us that literally God Himself comes down and He begins to dwell in our midst when we begin to lift up His name. And so what we feel in this room tonight is not just camp hype, but it's the literal presence of God as we begin to lift our voices and sing to God and worship Him and adore Him. When we do that, everything changes, because when God comes in the room, everything changes. Everybody say, everything changes. Everything changes. And tonight is going to be a night, because God is here, that it's going to be a night where everything's going to change. Everything is going to change. And I believe tonight that when we exit these doors, that we're going to walk out of this little auditorium different than when we came in, all right? Because the presence of God is here. All right, are you with me tonight? Turn in your Bible real quick to the book of 2 Samuel. We're going to hop right in. I appreciate you being such good listeners last night. Again, such an honor to be with you and to share God's word with you. 2 Samuel chapter 18. I want to share with you a message that I've never shared with anyone before. Just God laid it on my heart for this summer, for this week specifically of camp. 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 8, probably a very weird verse to talk about, but I believe the Lord wants to speak to us. We're hopping right into the middle of a story where a man in the Bible named David is in the middle of a battle. And here's what the writer records about this brutal fight that's going on. It says, "For the battle there was scattered over the face of the whole countryside and the woods." Everybody say, the woods. "The woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured." And there's this brutal fight going on with swords, but more people actually died that day, not from swords, but literally just from the woods, from going into the woods. And the woods took out more lives that day than actually swords did. I want to talk to you tonight about the woods. Everybody say, the woods. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence that's here. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open our hearts, that we might receive from you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Anybody ever been deep in the woods before? Deep in the woods? I remember the first time that I ever went really deep in the woods. My dad took me as a young child, and he said, I want you to go hunting with us. And I thought it sounded like a good idea until I realized that we went out at like 5 o'clock in the morning where it's pitch black. And I'm not exaggerating. We walked for over an hour into very, very thick woods. I mean, I had no idea where we're going. We have flashlights. And then he sits me down by this tree on the side of a mountain, and he says, "Now you just stay here. In about 30 minutes, the sun's going to come up, okay? And I'm going to go over here." I was sitting there. I was scared to death. I was like, and the sun started coming up. There's something about being deep in the woods, but then being deep in the woods by yourself. Have you ever been there before? I mean, I have watched way too many episodes of Dateline to be doing this. I mean, and I hear everything. I'm like, what was that? What was that? What was that? I mean, finally, I just had it. I reached into my backpack, started eating all the snacks that I'd packed for the entire day. I mean, we're 15 minutes into daylight. I've already ate the whole day's food, okay, because I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I was scared to death in the woods. This past year, I took my son and I started to teach him how to hunt. And I'm actually a very terrible hunter. I go for the snacks, as you can tell. All right, and I took my son up into the same mountains, and we hiked and hiked. And it was bitter cold this morning. We're all bundled up in all these clothes, and we finally get to the spot where we're going. And we, you know, we're trying to get situated. And I went to unbuckle my backpack full of supplies, and I thought I unbuckled my backpack. And all of a sudden, it got, like, super, super cold. And I was like, man, it is getting freezing cold, and it got breezy. And all of a sudden, I hear my son laughing, and I'm like, he knows. I've told him, you got to be quiet in the woods if we're going to see a deer. And I turn around, the reason he's laughing, I didn't unbuckle my backpack. I unbuckled my overalls, and I'm sitting there in my whitey-tighties in the middle of the woods, and my son's going, ah, Dad, what are you doing? See, the woods. Everybody say the woods. The woods will get you. The woods will get you. You know, one time I was hunting with my brother. He is actually the hunter. And we came out. We've been hunting all morning. And we're supposed to meet back at the truck for lunch. And he comes walking back to the truck for lunch. And I notice that half of his sleeve is missing. Like, he's got one sleeve all the way down to his wrist. And the other half, I said, what happened to your shirt? Did you get attacked by a bear or something? He's like, nah. He's like, I forgot paper. And I was like, What do you mean like you forgot paper? He's like, you know, he's like, I forgot paper. He's like, I got in the woods. I had to take care of business. I'm like, you cut your sleeve off? He's like, absolutely. He's like, I'm going to wipe. I was like, you know what? You are a genius. You are a genius. You know, here's the thing. We don't give rednecks enough credit, right? I mean, seriously, can we give it up for rednecks? I mean, if we're going to talk about the woods, we better talk about rednecks, right? We don't give rednecks enough credit. Let's pause for a minute and let's just honor rednecks. I mean, this is genius. I mean, the redneck genius. I mean, seriously. Like, I mean, who needs a trigger when you can have this, right? Are you with me? Look at this. Rednecks, a laptop for their kids. I mean, this is one of my favorite right here. And this, yeah, absolutely, redneck genius. Let's give it up for our rednecks. So in our story that we read, the story says that literally more people died in the woods. Everybody say the woods. In fact, if you read on in that chapter, the king's son, Absalom, had a long flowing mullet. I mean, it was a huge lock of hair. He literally got his hair tied in a tree, lost his stallion, and died because he was stuck in a tree and the enemy came along and just put three spears through his heart. You see, there's a picture. Here's what I'm getting to. There's a picture in the story that we have to pay attention to, is that the woods represent something spiritually for us. You see, the woods is where you get distracted. The woods is where you get caught up. The woods is where you really get drawn away from the mission of really what God has for your life. And bad things happen spiritually when we get into the woods. When we get into the woods. So we're going to talk about the woods tonight. I want to give you three woods that we need to stay out of. The first one is the woods of fear. Everybody say the woods of fear. The woods of fear. The woods of fear. This is a big one right here. Do you know that psychologists say that when you are born a baby and you come out and the doctor smacks you on the butt, you take your first breath of air and you cry, that you're actually only born with two natural fears, all right? The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. But psychologists say that today there's over 2,000 diagnosed fears. Over 2,000. I mean, and they're crazy if you look them up. Here's some crazy ones. A fear of clowns, not just restricted to evil clowns, all right? Fear of dentists. I'm actually there. I hate going to the dentist. How about halitophobia, the fear of bad breath? That's a good fear to have, okay? This one, everybody's struggling. Some of you started twitching already. Nomophobia, right? The fear of being out of mobile phone contact, right? Like, I don't know what to do. Papophobia, fear of Pope. This one's for real. Turophobia, the fear of cheese, man. Cheese can't put a hurting on you, all right? So that can be a good fear. How about a phobophobia, fear of having fear? Our world is so consumed with fear. Now, there are good fears. There's healthy fears. Like, some of you are going to go zip lining this week, right? Like, if you get on a zip line, you should put on a harness, right? Something inside of you should say, I should probably put on a harness, put on a helmet. That's a good fear. But here is the thing is that you need to understand about fear is that God never created us to live controlled by a spirit of fear. To really understand fear, we got to go back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis. When God created Adam and Eve, everything was perfect. And everything was perfect. Literally, God would come down every day and walk with Adam and Eve in the garden. They had one rule. You can have everything that your eye sees except for this one piece of fruit from this one tree. And Satan deceived them into to sin, to basically going against God's word. And when they ate that fruit, here's what the Bible says happens in Genesis chapter 3. Watch. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wives hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among where? Everybody say, stay out of the woods. Watch. God was, every day God would come down and be with Adam and Eve. But the minute that they sinned, something changed. And they're like, oh my gosh, I hear God coming. We better go run and hide. And where do they go run and hide? The woods, right? And notice God comes in verse 9. He says, Adam, where are you? Like, we've been doing this every day. Where are you now? What does Adam say? I heard your voice in the garden. And what was I? I was afraid. Everybody say fear. You see, the number one, listen to me, the number one evil that Satan released into our world because of sin was fear. And on that day, it was a game changer. And all of a sudden, fear enters our world. And now, fear is something that affects all of us. It affects all of us. And in that moment, fear began to consume. You see, you have to understand that Satan, the deceiver, the serpent, just like he came to Adam and Eve, he's not like this super kind guy. Like, you wouldn't want to hang out with him, okay? Like, he doesn't just walk up to you and say, you know what, let me get this guy's name. What's your name? Caden? Because, Caden, you have a killer mullet, man. It's awesome, all right? Have you been in the woods? It's not a mullet. Okay, it's just long hair. It could be a mullet, all right? Satan is not going to walk up to Caden and say, Caden, my name is Satan, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call me. And my number one goal is I want to destroy your life, okay? Like, I just want to ruin your life. Cut off your long locks of hair, you know, call you ugly, whatever. Satan, on the flip side, is a deceiver. He's a trickster. But his end goal is that he does want to destroy us. We talked about last night. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the greatest ways that he does this is the woods of fear. Is convincing you that you have to live held in bondage by fear. Listen, hear me tonight. God never intended for you to live a life of fear. In fact, what God's word says is God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Hear me tonight. I know that some of you in this room, you've been through traumatic experiences. Bad things have happened to you. Some of you in this room, you've been sexually abused. You've been physically abused. You've had parents who've walked out on you. Some of you don't know your biological parents. Some of you say, I wish I never knew my biological parents. Listen, I get it. We can't understand why some things happen the way they do. My beautiful wife, if she could be here tonight, she would tell you that when we had just first gotten married and we had our first kid and we were so excited to spend our life together, she got the call that she never wanted to get. And it was that her mother had had an asthma attack in Chicago O'Hare Airport, coming back from vacation. And here my wife is at her mom's home waiting for her to get back so they could spend Christmas together. And instead she spends the next week in a hospital room watching her mom brain dead on life support and having to turn off the machine. We didn't understand why. We wanted God to heal her. We believed that God could heal her. He never did. Almost 10 years later to the day, her father, same thing, tragic brain injury. She finds herself in the same hospital, almost the same room, standing over her dad on a life support machine. We don't understand why things happen. We don't understand. The only thing that we know is this. The world we live in is a fallen world. It's a broken world. And we won't understand all the answers. But you know what else we know? We know that the enemy loves to use the brokenness to get us into the woods of fear. Because he wants to control our life. You know, on my way here, I've seen a lot of crazy things in airports. I saw something I've never seen before when I was in getting ready to hop on the plane. I was in the airport eating some food, and you know who walked by me? A prisoner. He had literally shackles on his feet and shackles on his hand. He was doing the waddle through the airport just like this. And I was like, you know what? That is an awful way to travel. I mean, it's bad enough getting on a plane, but especially when you're chained up. You know, that's exactly what fear does to us. Fear controls and consumes our life and keeps us bound. Everybody say, come out of the woods of fear. The second woods that we want to talk about tonight is the woods of depression. You see, this set of woods is the best friend of the woods of fear, is the woods of depression and anxiety. You know, when we used to think about your age and childhood and teenagers, we would kind of have this thought that, you know, these are the carefree years. You know, kids are carefree, not a care in the world. But something has really changed in our world. I read a report the other day. The American Psychological Association came out with a report in 2018, and they said your generation of kids has actually more anxiety. They have diagnosed more anxiety in your generation than actually psychiatric patients in the 1950s. So literally, psychiatric patients who they would put in mental hospitals in the 50s, your generation has more, they're seeing cases of more anxiety among young people than they did in psych patients in the 50s. See, something's wrong. You see, what happens is the enemy loves to use things that happen to us because of a broken and fallen world to pull us into not only the woods of fear, but also the woods of depression and anxiety. He loves to use it as one of his tools. He loves to suck us in and pull us in and allow it to begin to consume our lives. Let me explain something really clear. Depression, anxiety are very real things. They're not things that we have to be ashamed of. They're not things that we have to be embarrassed. They're not things that we have to say, you know, I don't even want to mention that I'm dealing with depression and anxiety because I just feel like I feel less than somebody else. It's no different than battling anything else. But I also want you to understand this, that God never created you to live a life where depression and anxiety is your master. You will never convince me that God created you to be controlled by a spirit of anxiety and depression. Does it mean that we won't battle it? No, we'll battle it. We'll all battle it. But it should never be something that controls us. But see, if we're not awake and we're not aware to it, guess what happens? We get sucked into the woods of depression and anxiety. And just like on that day of battle when it began to take out people left and right, depression and anxiety today is doing the same thing. Listen, I know the world that we live in, it's harsh, right? It's a cold world. We deal with stuff. Anybody in the room ever dealt with stuff, right? Dealt with stuff, let down, people hurting you. Anybody ever encountered a bully, okay? All right, I'm not talking about just the bullies that take your lunch money, but just mean people. I don't know what it is about young people. You guys can be mean, you know what? You can be mean to each other. And what happens is that when we're going through all this stuff, it just kind of piles on us, and guess what? It gets really easy to fall into the woods of anxiety and depression. Really, really easy. And then to make matters worse, parents, grandparents, you know, we love our kids so much that we a lot of us give you one of these. And so what happens is like we have a 24/7 IV, okay, that's plugged into our vein where we're getting all of this stuff that's being downloaded into our minds. And you know what a lot of it does? Drives you into the woods of depression, right? Like you were feeling really confident, young lady, about yourself. until you started seeing all these people and you're like, gosh, why can't I have bangs like that? Dang, like I am so ugly. Boys are feeling really good about yourself, and then you're like, man, that kid right there, he's got so many likes and follows and all this stuff. And you know what happens? This IV is being pumped into our minds. And you know where it's putting us? Into the woods of depression, anxiety. Like, I feel really good about my life. And then, oh my gosh, man, my life stinks. My life is awful. You know, the other day, it happens to all of us the other day. I'm not kidding. My youngest just turned 8. We were riding in Charlotte, North Carolina, through a really nice neighborhood. And I was like, kids, look out the window. These homes are beautiful. And my 8-year-old son goes, Dad, I don't know what's wrong with me. And I said, what's wrong? I thought maybe he's got sick because we just came from dinner. He's like, all of a sudden, I feel really poor. I feel really poor. And listen, this is what happens to us. We get caught up in all of this garbage. Snap crap is what I call it, okay? All of this garbage and all of this comparison, all of this trying to live up. You're looking at pictures of models who haven't spent hours and hours in the gym. They have spent hours and hours being photoshopped, okay? All right? And all of a sudden, you're just like, oh, gosh, I feel terrible. I feel awful. Can't even look into the mirror. Let's get real. Then young ladies, you're like, I can't have a meal without going to the bathroom, making myself throw up, because I want to fit in this size pants, because I want to look like this. What happens is society, culture is pulling us into the woods. Everybody say the woods. And the woods, just like on that day, are taking out more and more people every single day. Listen to me, I didn't come tonight to play patty cake with the spirits that we're dealing with in our world today. I didn't come to just, you know, tell jokes and tell good stories. I come to get a lot of you tonight out of the woods, okay? Because the woods is what is destroying us. The woods is what is driving us deeper and deeper into darkness and further away from God. Are you with me tonight? You got to get out of the woods of anxiety and depression. You see, in the Bible, there was this man named Elijah, and we read his story in 1 Kings chapter 19. And here's what you got to understand about Elijah. Elijah was used very powerfully by God. And in fact, in one of the most epic stories in the Bible, for those of you who think or have ever maybe heard the Bible's boring, you've probably never read the Bible. In 1 Kings, Elijah has this showdown with these false prophets. Elijah was frustrated because a lot of his friends and a lot of people in the area that he lived in, they were worshiping false gods. And there was this one god named Baal, and they're all saying, you know what, Elijah, your God's not real, but our God is real. And your God's fake news, our God is real. And Elijah's had it. He's like, all right, meet me at Mount Carmel tomorrow. We're going to find out who's real. And it was kind of like the most epic dorm wars ever, honestly. Because Elijah comes and he says, okay, if you're with Baal and your gods, you're on this team over here. But if you're with my God, you're on this team over here. And here's the ground rules. Everybody gets a bull, all right? And everybody gets a pile of wood. And the game is going to be really simple. The first one whose God will answer by fire, that's the real God. No matches, no gasoline, no lighters, okay, no cheating. You get a bull and wood, that's it, and you get your God. And the false prophets of Baal, they get out there, and Elijah's a gentleman. He's like, you go first. It was like Will today saying, you know what, ladies, go first. So Elijah lets the people get out there, and they're out there, and they're literally having a worship service, and they're saying, oh, Baal, answer us. Show everybody that you're the real God. They start yelling. They start cutting themselves because that was a way of worship to Baal. Think about that for a minute. They literally start cutting their own body, saying, Baal, answer us. And here's Elijah. He's sitting over in the corner, and he actually starts throwing a little bit of shade, all right? I kind of think he was like Conor McGregor without all the profanity, all right? Because he was like, hey, why don't you guys just yell a little bit louder? I don't think Bell can hear you. So they'd yell louder. And he's like, maybe he's busy. Maybe he's busy. Elijah even said, you know what? Maybe he's taking a dump. So why don't, hey, seriously, that's what he said. He said, maybe your God's relieving himself. Shout a little bit louder. And then Elijah steps up to the plate because nothing happens. And something comes all over Elijah. And he says, you know what? Bring me some water. I don't know if you've ever tried to start a fire, but water and fire don't go together. He said, bring me 4 pails of water. They bring 4 pails. He says, pour it on the wood. He says, bring me some more. They bring him 4 more. Pour it on the wood. He says, bring me some more. 12 times they dump huge pails of water on this wood. By this time, it's literally like a swimming pool. And you know what the Bible says? Elijah said, he said, God, show them who you are. And in that moment, guess what? Fire came down from heaven, consumed the wood, the bull, all of the water, dried it up. And Elijah's like, you see all those false prophets? Go kill them all. And they did. And in that day, this incredible victory happens. I mean, Elijah had to be on top of the world. Now, let's read what happens immediately after this happens. You see, the king who watched all this went home. His name was Ahab, and he had a wife named Jezebel. We'll call her Jezzy. All right? And he says, Jezzy, you won't believe what happened today. And Jezzy got mad. You know what Jezzy says? You go tell Elijah, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to do the same thing. Now, if I were Elijah, I would have been like, hey, did you not just hear what happened? Like, I called, God came down, and he'll burn your tail up too, Jezzy, if you keep messing with me. Like, you know, go somewhere else. But watch what happens to Elijah. It says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under what? A tree. I'm telling you, man, you got to stay out of the woods. And what did Elijah say? He said he prayed that he might die. Talking about the woods of depression, the woods of anxiety. Here, Elijah just had this incredible God moment on top of the world, victory, and now depression is staring him down. And here's what God did. God came to him in a cave where Elijah was hiding. And he said, God came to him and he said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And it wasn't this tone of, Elijah, you know better. It was, Elijah, man, why are you in the cave of depression? Like, I'm with you, Elijah. Like, there's better things for you, Elijah. You see, to your generation tonight, some of you, the enemy has convinced you that the rest of your life, you're going to be bound by anxiety. Some of you, the enemy has convinced you the rest of your life, you're going to be bound by fear. That it's going to be a hold, a stronghold on your life. That you're going to be bound by thoughts of suicide. That you're never going to be able to look into the mirror and feel secure and loved in who you are. Those are lies from the enemy. And tonight, you got to hear God come up to you and say, what are you doing here in this cave? That's not what I have for you. Come out of the woods of depression. Come out of the woods of anxiety. Don't let it control and consume your life. Are you hearing me tonight? See, here's the good news, is that God doesn't abandon us when we're in our cave of depression. God didn't look down at Elijah and say, man, my boy was on top of the world, and now he's running like a big old sissy. No, that's not what God does. God comes down and he says, Elijah, come on, man, get out of this cave. I got so much more for you. Here's the last woods that we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm wrapping up and closing. We talked about the woods of fear. Everybody say the woods of fear. Say the woods of depression. The last woods we need to talk about is the woods of confusion. And I could have stopped with fear and depression and anxiety, but I can't stop because we got to talk about this one. And I'll be done in just a moment. So listen up real good. Actually, why don't you just go ahead and slightly nudge your neighbor and say, pay attention. Because you don't want to miss this. Tell them, say, you don't want to be stuck in the woods, man. Tell them, say, bad stuff happens in the woods. Tell them there's no paper in the woods. No paper in the woods. All right, look up here. Everybody look up here. The woods of confusion. Everybody say confusion. Remember how we talked about when Adam and Eve sinned? And the minute they sinned, it changed our world. And because of that, our world's a mess, right? I mean, our let's just be honest. Our world's a mess. It's broken. It's messed up. I mean, my heart breaks every day reading some just tragic, crazy story. And as a result, one of the things that has happened is our culture in general has just abandoned God. It's just abandoned God. And the Bible is always full of truth. And here's the thing. God will never change. I don't care if we live to the year 3000, this will never go old. It'll never be too old-fashioned. It'll always be the truth. And here's what the Bible said in the book of Romans, and this is so powerful. Here's what Paul said when our world starts abandoning God, here's what Paul said would happen. In Romans chapter 1, he said, when they refusing to know God, they soon didn't know how to be human either. Women didn't know how to be women. Men didn't know how to be men. Sexually confused, they abused and defiled one another. Women with women, men with men, all lust and no love. See, as we close tonight, let's talk about the woods of confusion. You know, just a couple years ago, Katy Perry came out with a song. Some of you weren't born yet, some of you were, and it was simply this: I kissed a girl and I liked it. And a lot of us laughed because we said, that's a girl singing a song about kissing a girl. And we're like, ha, 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 that's funny. You see, but in 2 weeks, my kids get ready to go back to school. And as a dad, I have to sit down in 2 weeks and I have to explain to my daughter why in the state of Virginia this year that young men will be able to be in her restroom at school. I have to explain that to her. I have to explain to my daughter who will be going into junior high school that when she comes out of her soccer game and into the locker room, that young men are now allowed to be in there. You see, because here's what happens. When our culture abandons God, what happens is Paul said, we forget how to be human. Everybody said confusion. Confusion sets in. And what's happening in your generation today is that the woods of confusion are sucking people in left and right. See, the Bible says that God's not the author of confusion. So in this room tonight, it's not a laughing matter. It's a real matter that many of us are dealing with as we go through this roller coaster of life, and the enemy comes in and he doesn't play fair. He plays harsh. He causes bad things to happen to us. And what happens is you find yourself in a room and you're battling confusion. And you're saying, why was I abused, or why did this happen to me? And young men are saying, well, you know, maybe it's because I'm supposed to be a different gender. Young girls are saying, you know, maybe the reason I'm so broken and always been hurt is because, you know, maybe I need to turn to a girl instead of a guy. And confusion, the spirit of confusion, is running rampant on your generation. And you know what it does? It puts you in this spiral where you say, you know, I don't even know from one day to the next. And then what's happening is people are coming into your life, because the enemy will put people in your life that they seem like they're speaking truth. And they'll come to you and you'll say, listen, here's the reason is because you don't know. Maybe one day you're this, but then the next day you might need to be this. And then maybe the next day that you could be this. You know what they're doing? They're saying, come into the woods. Come into the woods. Listen, God never created you to live in the woods. He never created you to be full of fear and full of anxiety and confused. God sent truth for us so that we could know the truth, and by that truth, we could be free. Everybody said, come out of the woods. You know, a couple years ago, and I'll close, it was actually my first time. I told you last night, 2007 was my first time coming to River Point Camp. And my oldest son, Chase, was just barely a year old. Actually, this was my second time coming when he was 1 year old. And I'll never forget that year because we wanted to take a float trip, just like many of you were down the river today, right? All right. And my wife was with me that year. She was extremely pregnant with our daughter. And so we said, you know, maybe it's not the best idea, but we're like, let's do it. And so we came up with this plan, and it was that Chase was going to ride on my lap, and then my pregnant wife was coming behind me on the tubes. And we had asked, you know, like, what's the river like? And they're like, well, it's a little high this year, but it's not too bad. And I had been down the river before, and I knew, you know, I mean, I'm not very good on the rivers while I was driving today, okay? I'm a little tipsy, as you can tell, all right? When you're 6'2", 200, and none of your business pounds, bad things happen on kayaks, all right? Bad things. And so I'm on this tube, and we're going around, and I'm not kidding. The very first bend in the river we hit, all of a sudden the water picks up really fast, and I got my one-year-old son on my lap, and the current was so strong, it pulled us into this corner, flipped me, and I knew I was going to flip, so I grabbed my son, but I didn't realize that the water was as high as it was. And so in that moment, I'm 6'2", I went completely under. Like, I mean, I was all the way under. And so I'm treading water and, you know, holding my one-year-old son up above the water. And in that moment, I just remembered the power of the current. The power of the current. And I remember that feeling that, you know, I knew I wasn't going to die. I was like, you know what, we're going to get out of this. There's enough people on this float trip. But in that moment, I remember feeling the power of that current. Listen, the reason we have the talk about what we have the talk about tonight is because the power of the current that in our world tonight, it's real, all right? I'm not doubting it. It's real, but we can do something about it. And you don't have to let it pull you into fear. You don't have to let it pull you into anxiety. You don't have to let it pull you into depression. You don't have to let it pull you into confusion. You can live a life of freedom. Are you with me tonight? I want you to bow your heads. Thank you for being such a good audience. I know it went a little bit longer tonight. I've been praying all day because I knew that tonight that there's a lot of you in this room that the enemy has pulled into the woods. And if I can be honest with you, a lot of you, it wasn't even your fault. You were a victim. You were literally just drugged into the woods. Some of you in the room tonight, you've been bound by fear, anxiety, depression, confusion from stuff that it wasn't even your own actions. It was something that happened to you. Some of you have generational curses, and you're like, I don't even know what that is. But they're real. People in your family before you were involved in things that were not pleasing to God, and they've just passed down. Sometimes they get stronger and stronger. But see, tonight, just like God came to Elijah in that cave, God's coming down to River Point Camp by the power of His Spirit. And He's not coming down to say, man, I'm so ashamed of you. Some of you in the room earlier tonight, God told me some of you are really struggling because you are so full of condemnation, because in your mind you keep thinking, I knew better. I should have done better. People expected more of me. What God told me to tell you, that's not the voice of God. God's coming to you and saying, make the choice tonight to come out of those woods. So tonight, the Spirit of God is going to bring us out of the woods. Never to go back. Doesn't mean we won't struggle, but the chains are going to be broken off of our life tonight. And so, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd begin to prepare every heart and life to have a supernatural encounter with you. God, we don't want to just go through the River Point Camp motions, but tonight we want to experience the power of God that breaks chains. We want to experience the power of the Spirit that breaks generational curses, that causes the demonic influences to flee and run in the name of Jesus, that breaks off the spirit of the age that's tormenting us, causing us not even to be able to sleep at night. That's what we want to encounter tonight, the Spirit of God that can radically change us. And that's what we're believing for tonight in Jesus' name. I want you just to let God begin to speak to your heart. God's speaking to you right now. You know it. You feel it. Some of you, maybe it's for the first time that you're just feeling things coming all over you. It's the Spirit of God. It's the love of God. It's the grace of God that's just flooding your heart. Some of you, you're like, I don't even know why I'm starting to cry right now. It's because it's the grace of God who's just washing over you. And just let Him speak to you. One writer said it was like my heart was filled with liquid love. I felt like there was love raining down over me. Just experience that right now. It's the presence of God. It's the power of the Spirit. Here's what we're going to do tonight. I want every person that is able to pray, workers that are able to pray, if you could just quickly come to the front real quick. Just come to the front and stand real quick. If you're able to pray, we're going to need a bunch of you. Thank you, Jesus. Workers, if you've come up here, I just want you to bow your head. I want you to start praying. I want you to ask God to begin to prepare your hearts to minister. Ask the Holy Spirit to anoint you. Ask Him to anoint you. Because we're getting ready to do battle tonight. We're getting ready to do battle tonight. So here's what we're going to do, young people. If you are here and you say, you know what? I want to come out of the woods tonight. I'm tired of struggling and dealing with the things that I've been dealing with, and I want God tonight to set me free. I want Him to set me free tonight. I want you to get quickly out of your seat and come to the front. Fill this space, and I want you to stand. I want you to stand. They're going to come pray for you in just a minute, but come quickly. Come on. Come on, don't play games. Come running out of the woods. Come running out of the woods. And as you come, I want you to lift your hands to God. I want you to lift both hands to God. Come on, come up.